Scripture reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4. An intensely practical portion of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 2 through 9, and I am reading from the English Standard Version. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 2, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its practicality. I pray that as we open it together during these moments, that your spirit would have freedom in each of our lives to take your word and apply it as it needs to be applied. Lord, give us openness to hear your voice. And Lord, keep me from getting in your way. And do what you wish among us as we look into your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep calm and carry on. You've seen those posters, perhaps. It was a motivational phrase and poster developed by the British Ministry of Information early in World War II. Interestingly enough, as I understand it, the posters were never used. They were actually put in storage for a greater emergency. I'm not quite sure what could be a greater emergency. Perhaps they were looking for a land invasion from Germany. But it does capture a little bit of the proverbial British stoicism, I suppose. Just keep calm and carry on. Now, the phrase has been hijacked by an awful lot of other people. And adjusted to everything from keep calm and drink Starbucks. I'm not quite sure how those two go together. To keep calm and pray. Keep calm and throw in the towel. I've seen all kinds of versions of this sign. And it reminds me that the first part of it is actually not much practical help. And you know that. You've been around long enough to know that if something bad is happening in your life and someone comes up to you and says, keep calm, and that's all they say, you're ready to sock him in the face. What do you mean, keep calm? I can't keep calm. This is a mess. It's what comes after the "and" that counts. Well, we live in an anxious world. We live in a world where lots of people want to know how to keep calm. And even those that don't want to know need to know. Fortunately, Paul came up with an answer long before the British Ministry of Information did. And in fairness, both Paul and the people in that church at Philippi had their own set of anxieties to deal with. They lived in an anxious world. Paul was imprisoned. The Philippian church, apparently, from the hints we get in this epistle, was dealing with some internal conflict. The apostles already told them to be of the same mind if you go back into chapter 2. And now he's getting ready to be even more specific. He's going to name names. Paul's letter goes beyond just keep calm. It is intensely practical, as I said earlier. However, there is a caveat that we need to put at the beginning. What Paul says is not going to help you a whole lot unless you have trusted in Jesus Christ, unless you've got a relationship with Him. That's where it starts. And Paul assumes that as he is writing to these Christians in Philippi. So please understand that as we get going. And if that's something that is still a loose end in your life, the most effective step you can take in beginning to deal with the reality of anxiety is to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That's where the journey begins. That's where the relationship begins. Well, let's dig into the word a little bit and see what Paul has to say. Keep calm, he says, and agree. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Now, how would you like it if somebody sent a letter to this church and named names just like that? Your name. You know, Phil, put your name in the blank. I entreat so-and-so, and so-and-so, to agree in the Lord. And that letter is being read for everyone in the church to hear. It's a little embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, come on. I'm okay with chapter 2 where Paul says, I urge you, you know, all of you, to be of one mind, to agree in the Lord. But now he's naming names. Euodia. Interesting names, by the way. You would not expect people with these names to be involved in conflict. Euodia's name actually means good or prosperous journey. Syntyche, a good contemporary equivalent of syntyche would be serendipity. A pleasant acquaintance or happening. Things just coming together in the right way. But things in Philippi were apparently coming together in the wrong way, because it turns out that wherever there are people, there is potential for discord. Have you noticed that? For that reason, Valerie and I have been planning on starting our own mission, an outreach mission that we call Mission to Uninhabited Fields. Because we figure where there are no people, there will be no problems. Right? Well, yeah, you're just getting nasty. We've made it. He says where there are two of us, there's going to be a problem. It could be. It could be. Valerie and I were driving in Iowa a couple of weeks ago when we were back there in the Midwest. And we'd stopped in the middle of nowhere to change drivers right next to this sign, the former Discord settlement was located here. I have no idea what the history of Discord settlement is. It's somewhere not too far from Sioux City, Iowa, out in the middle of nowhere, on a very beautiful scenic highway, and there's not much there now except a field. But since the mid-19th century, apparently there had been a settlement named Discord for reasons that nobody has bothered to preserve, apparently. Or at least I couldn't find what the history was. Maybe they had their own Euodian syntyche there. I don't know. Maybe there were people who just had difficulty getting along. What do you do if you're living in Discord settlement? Well, Paul says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. He addresses both of them by name. It takes two. It takes Euodia and it takes Syntyche if the discord's going to be resolved. But he tells them also to agree in the Lord. Turns out it takes more than two. It takes three. Agree in the Lord. Are there ever going to be things that you have difficulty agreeing with? Things between you and another Christian? Probably. When church leaders meet, do they ever disagree about how to do things? Yeah, sometimes they do. While the pastor nominating committee was doing its work, were there times when they weren't all on the same page at the same time? Of course. Of course. What do you do with that? You make a commitment to agree in the Lord. Agree in the Lord. And if I'm going to agree in the Lord with someone, then what I need to do first is find out just exactly where the Lord is on this issue. Because if I can agree with the Lord, and the other person can agree with the Lord, then there's a pretty good chance we can agree with each other. But sometimes even that's a problem. And Paul recognizes it. And he goes on and says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who've labored side by side with me in the gospel. Quite probably, Euodia and Syntyche were part of that original group of women gathered by the riverside when Paul first got to Philippi in response to the Macedonian vision in Acts 16. They'd been around a while. Probably leaders in the church. Help these women. Sometimes, folks, people need help in reaching agreement in the Lord. And you know what that means? It means that you and I need to be prepared to be peacemakers, because sometimes it takes four. Two people who are disagreeing, the Lord and you. Somebody to help, to be a catalyst for unity. Have you ever thought of yourself as being called to be a catalyst for unity? I believe that is part of the calling of every Christian in every church. We're called to be catalysts for unity. We're called to help build a oneness in the body of Christ so that the church becomes, in the eyes of a needy world, something that is indeed beautiful. Are you prepared to be a peacemaker? Well, how does that help me deal with my anxiety? It might in the short run increase your anxiety, but in the long run it'll decrease it. Because you're helping to build the body of Christ. Become an agent of unity. Keep calm and agree in the Lord. And then Paul goes on. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Oh yeah, well, that's easy. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And I think it is unlikely that this is the first time for any of you that you have heard the encouragement to exchange anxiety for prayer. You've heard that before. And this is a section of Scripture that I need to remind myself of regularly. Maybe you do too. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Well, why is it, if we've heard it so often, that we have such trouble following that pattern? Well, let's put it in context. Paul says first what he's already said: rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And just in case you didn't get it the first time or the second time, he says it again: rejoice. Let your reasonableness, another translation of that is gentleness, let that be known to everyone. Display gentle reasonableness. And while we're trying to figure that out, Paul reminds them, by the way, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. I don't think that's merely a reference to the soon coming of the Lord. I think that's a reference to the present nearness of the Lord. The Lord is near. He's close. And so I ask myself, as I look at a passage of Scripture like that, as I look at that statement, the Lord is near, I need to ask myself, Malcolm, do you live like the Lord is near? Do you live like he's close by? Oh. Well, sometimes I do. And sometimes maybe I don't. So let's put this exchange of anxiety for prayer in a context of rejoicing, in a context of reasonableness, and in a context of recognizing the nearness of the Lord. He's close by. And then Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Okay, well, that can start to make sense if I understand that the Lord really is near. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray. Pray about everything. Do you pray about everything? My mother was a master at praying for parking places. Seriously. Mom, in her later years, had mobility difficulties. And if she went out shopping when she was still able to do so, she'd pray that the Lord would give her a parking place close to where she needed to be. And mysteriously, God often, usually, answered that prayer. Mom taught me to pray for parking places. Now, I don't always need a close parking place. In fact, a lot of the time what I really need is a parking place on the other side of the parking lot, so I'll get some exercise walking across it. But is there anything in your life that is too small for you to pray about? There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. Your relationship with the Lord should be such that whatever concerns you, you can share with Him. That's what we do with really good, close friends who love us, who are concerned for us. There should be nothing too small to pray about. Is there anything in your life too big for you to pray about? Is there anything for which you have decided, you know, this is so big, I'm going to need to take care of it on my own? Yeah, didn't that sound stupid? But if you're honest, and if I'm honest with myself, I've got to admit that there are times when that has been my attitude. This is so big, I need to take care of it. Malcolm, are you crazy? Well, maybe I am. There is nothing too big to pray about. God can handle the big stuff. And God can handle the small stuff. And God can handle all of the stuff in between. He might not handle it the way you want. Okay? He might handle it a little differently than you'd like. His answer might not be the answer that you would really, really like. He might even tick you off with his answer. But God can handle it. And God's word, through the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, says, don't be anxious about everything. Pray about everything. Everything. The big stuff and the little stuff. Pray about it all. And do it with thanksgiving. Oh, did he have to say that? Well, yes, he probably did. Because when we are anxious, gratitude usually is not right at the surface. We need to dig for it a little bit. Pray with thanksgiving. Be thankful that God's listening. Be thankful that He's near. Be thankful that He has answered prayer, and be thankful that He will again. And then whatever it is, take it to the Lord. Give it to God. Lord, right now, I am most anxious about fill in the blank. Tell Him what it is. He can handle it. When we do that, the result, according to God's word, is that the peace of God, a peace that is beyond understanding, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? The peace of God. Someone defined peace as that brief moment when everyone's standing around reloading. And sometimes that's our idea of peace, is just this brief moment between the shots. I think God has something more than that in mind. The peace of God, the deep, rich peace of God, that which Paul, writing to the Galatians, said was part of the fruit of the Spirit, part of what God desires to produce in our lives. That peace will guard your hearts and your minds. The heart, the center of the emotions, and the mind, the center of the intellect, guarded when we're willing to choose to leave stuff with God. It's an act of the will that puts in place that guarding of the heart and the mind. Keep calm and pray about everything. Practical stuff. And Paul's not done. Then he says in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep calm and focus. Focus your mind. Where do you let your mind dwell? What do you mean? What do you mean, Malcolm? Where do I let my mind dwell? Well, I mean, where do you let your mind dwell? Your mind doesn't have a will of its own. It's your will that's at work. So where do you let your mind dwell? Now, there may be some less than helpful thoughts that pass through our mind. you don't have to nail them down and mull on them forever. Where do you focus? What do you think about? Paul's advice here is incredibly practical. He says, here's where you ought to focus your mind. Whatever is true. Whatever is true. Do you find yourself contemplating that which is not true? Or that which probably isn't true? Most of the stuff we worry about, most of the stuff that causes us anxiety, never happens. Sometimes it's good to just stop and ask yourself, where is the truth in this situation? Where is the truth? What do I know for sure? Whatever is honorable. Think about whatever is honorable the next time someone cuts you off on the freeway. Whatever is just. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Unsullied by sin. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is commendable. Six words. Paul's almost tripping over himself, focusing us on that which is positive, but not negative. And then he summarizes it and says, if there's any excellence, well, there is excellence in that which is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Settle your mind there. Focus your mind. But it's not just your mind. Focus your actions as well. It's not just what you think, it's what you do. Verse 9, Paul says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And once again, he's almost tripping over himself with the words. What you've learned and what you've received and what you've heard and what you've seen, that which you've taken in about, this gets dangerous, about me. Practice these things. Once again, Paul sets himself up as an example. It's helpful for us to have good examples, isn't it? We need models. We need people to follow. Who do you follow? Who's your model? And perhaps more seriously, who is looking to you as a model? If you've never asked yourself that question, you need to, because the likelihood is somebody is. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Because when you do, here's the result. The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So there it is. Verse 7, the peace of God. Verse 9, the God of peace. You've got the peace that God gives, and you've got the God who gives it. You've got them both. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough to deal with whatever the world throws at us? So, brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever you are, and whatever might cause you anxiety, agree in the Lord. And pray about everything. And take control of what you think and what you do. Because then, maybe, just maybe, you've got a good shot at keeping calm. Lord, it's a crazy, anxious world. And we readily confess that a lot of times it messes us up. Would you help us to take your word and put it into action in our lives, please? By the strength that your Spirit gives, help us to agree in the Lord and to pray about everything and to take control of our thinking and our actions and to experience the peace that you give and more than that, you who give it. Thank you for the promise of your word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.